That was Rambutan, which is Eric Hardiman's project. He lives in Del Mar, and during the pandemic, gathered...
This is Legs McNeil, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Glen Falls House in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Power in numbers. Water protectors rally against the Enbridge Line 3 pipeline. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. 3, 200, 419. These numbers help explain this moment in the worsening climate crisis. 419 is the latest atmospheric concentration of carbon dioxide in parts per million, as reported by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. That's right, it's pronounced Noah, just like the Old Testament character who predicted a climate catastrophe and was ignored until it was too late. That's 50% over pre-industrial levels and the highest concentration in over 4 million years. By comparison, the Climate Action Organization 350.org is named after the scientific consensus that atmospheric CO2 concentration should not exceed 350 parts per million if the planet is to avoid irreversible climate catastrophe. The number 3 refers to Enbridge Line 3, a pipeline currently under construction designed to carry almost 1 million barrels of tar sands oil daily from Canada into the United States. Line 3's intended route passes under indigenous lands in northern Minnesota, crossing scores of rivers and streams, wetlands, and through wild rice beds. And 200 is the approximate number of water protectors arrested on June 7th during the largest act of nonviolent civil disobedience against Line 3 construction to date. An indigenous women-led mobilization is now underway, reminiscent of the mass movement that opposed the Dakota Access Pipeline on unceded Lakota territory in 2016.
You know, it's a brand new corridor through our prime territory of wild rice, our clam beds, our fish, all of our territory.
That's Winona LaDuke, the renowned Anishinaabe activist and leader in the fight against the pipeline, speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
We've stood and tried every process to stop this. I'm someone, along with all of these other women water protectors in our tribes, we spent 7 years in the regulatory process. And now what we see is even Joe Biden sends in a helicopter to go and start hurting our people. You know, our people have had very little recourse. We have none. You know, and so now we've come to go stand, and thousands of people have come to join us.
The protests included a march of over 1,500 people to occupy the spot where Line 3 would cross the Mississippi River, very close to the famous river's headwaters. Downriver, 500 more water protectors marched on the pipeline's Twin Inlets pumping station. There, 24 activists locked themselves to heavy machinery, and another 24 locked themselves to a large motorboat on a trailer, blocking vehicle access to the site. As the hours passed, police, reportedly from 31 different jurisdictions, escalated tactics, eventually deploying the LRAD. That's the long-range acoustical device in an attempt to disrupt the civil disobedience. A federal Customs and Border Patrol helicopter buzzed the protesters, kicking up sand and rocks amidst the lockdown. Again, Winona LaDuke.
What you got is a political and a human rights and environmental crisis. We have petitioned to every federal agency, and so far we have had no response. It just seems that Joe Biden wants to see if a bunch of Indian people and older women are going to get hurt up in northern Minnesota before it's an important enough issue for Biden to look at.
President Biden has the authority to block the Line 3 pipeline. So in addition to occupying its construction path, water protectors are organizing a mass campaign to pressure the Biden administration. Grassroots organizing works, as was demonstrated by the declaration Wednesday by TC Energy, formerly TransCanada, that it's formally abandoning its planned Keystone XL pipeline. Rescinding the permit for Keystone XL was one of Biden's first acts as president. Enbridge seems to understand the power of mass movements. In a line from its 2020 annual report, the company admitted, quote, increased environmental activism against pipeline construction and operation could potentially result in work delays, reduced demand for our products and services, increased legislation, or denial or delay of permits and rights of way, they wrote. While water protectors continue to arrive at the Mississippi's headwaters, Biden is off to Europe on his first trip abroad as president. Among his stops is the meeting of the G7 group of wealthy industrialized nations that includes the U.S. as well as Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, and the United Kingdom. These countries currently account for over a quarter of greenhouse gas emissions. But according to climate activists, are collectively shirking their climate finance commitments to fund global efforts to respond to the pollution they've caused. Meanwhile, a virtual summit is underway to plan for November's COP26 climate summit in Glasgow, Scotland, which was canceled last year due to the pandemic. Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg has said she'll boycott the meeting if wealthy nations don't take swift action to deliver vaccine equity to poorer nations, and many other international organizations are considering joining her. How many water protectors have to be arrested before world leaders, President Biden paramount among them, seriously commit to a rapid, just transition off of our addiction to fossil fuels? How dangerously high must the concentration of carbon dioxide rise in our shared atmosphere? The numbers don't lie, and the clock is ticking. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
90.7 FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
And the buildings start to deteriorate. The things are just not the same. They're not taking care of.
Yeah, I said I feel invisible. They like, Poppy, what you get to? I pop a brick or retarded. Wait. Yeah. I said I feel invisible. Hold on. It's 100 in the spot. I won't keep going. It's 85 just to walk on. I don't talk to this. Cause a lot of these be corny. I'm feeling horny. And I shoot like Robert Horry. I'm up this percolated. I got a percolated. I give it this percolated. I show it this percolated tricks. Pasco, they know who in the city. Pasco, you can ask Diddy. Pasco, what's up with city? Yo? Pasco, going 50 to 50. I pop a fucker retorted, then shoot up the party, then change the artillery. Energy. I'm giving nine by energy. I give a f***ing Hennessy. I give two shots to the enemy. Hope you remember me. What the f*** telling me? I spent 250 on my fist. I spent 250 on my f***. Little G, doing the grip. Walking in spot and turn everybody. DJ, Clue, my with the wolves. Tell Spank in and play it back. While the wolves throw the bag. You know I'm shooting for the stars. Aiming for the moon. I shoot at any op. Cause you know I woo. Send that to the medic. Everything broad, no edit. Plasmo did it. I said I feel invisible. Hold on. It's 100 in the spot. I won't keep going. It's 85 just to walk on. I don't talk to this. Cause a lot of these be corny. I'm feeling horny.
And I shoot like Robert Hood. I'm off this percolated. I got a percolated. I give it a percolated. I show it a percolated tricks. Pasco, they know who in the city. Pasco, you can ask me. Pasco, what's up with city? Pasco, going 50 to 50.
They keep.
Welcome to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM, WGXC, broadcasting Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. That song was, Invincible, a Pop Smoke. Stay tuned for a great discussion and more. We will kick off our show after local news and weather.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, June 11th. A mostly dry day is ahead. Starting out in the mid-50s.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill. Cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Wayfarm's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Wayfarm Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alfdermar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Here's what we do with the clubhouse. It be fun at the clubhouse. Music stay loud at the clubhouse. That be cool at the clubhouse. Not just mine, just your house. Music program with the clubhouse. Got a drum set at the clubhouse. Got a piano at the clubhouse. Make your own beats at the clubhouse. Get on the radio with the clubhouse. Share your voice at the clubhouse. Express yourself at the clubhouse. Tracks program at the clubhouse. Be yourself at the clubhouse. No judgment at the clubhouse. No drama at the clubhouse. We accept you at the clubhouse. Got field trips at the clubhouse. Got art supplies at the clubhouse. Creativity at the clubhouse. Paint your own wall at the clubhouse. Got a TV at the clubhouse. Got Wi-Fi at the clubhouse. Food and snacks at the clubhouse. Hope to see you at the clubhouse.
You were just listening to an original Clubhouse theme song made in our tracks music program by DJ WGIC. WIC. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio. All views expressed on Clubhouse Radio are our truth and may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse's parent organization or the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. On today's show, we're going to be talking about Juneteenth. Yeah, so we're just gonna. I'm DJ Ricky, and I'm here with
Tanya Jackson.
And my sound engineer is
DJ Popcorn.
Sir, all right. So, Tanya, my first question for you is, what is Juneteenth? For like the listeners at home who don't know.
Thank you for having me on the show today. My name is Tanya Jackson. I am the organizer for the Hudson Juneteenth celebration. This will be our second year having one in Hudson. My cousin Gonda Badilla and I started this last year. We're both from Hudson to an extent. We both moved to Hudson when we were very young and grew up there. You know, left college, lived life, and then both moved back. And so we're from the area in that sense, and have been just working to do programming in the community. My focus is culture and film and media, and so doing Juneteenth, you know, just aligned with what, you know, what my passions are in the world. And so Juneteenth, to answer your question, has grown to be a celebration. There's a historical heritage observance within the African American community. It is happens on June 19th every year, which marks the day in which the last of our enslaved ancestors that we know of found out about the Emancipation Proclamation in 1865, that they were free from legal state-sanctioned slavery. And so Juneteenth, while we nationally celebrate it on the 19th of June, it does vary in different regions of the country depending on when your city, your community found out that you were no longer enslaved by the state. And so Juneteenth... so it has, depending on where you are in the country, you may find that some people celebrate it in May, some people celebrate it in April, but most people, particularly when our ancestors migrated from Texas, other places, took that Juneteenth history and that date with them, and that's how we know of it today, is the people who kept it alive before. And so depending, again, where you are in the country, it's called Freedom Day. Some places call it Emancipation Day. And some places yet, like in New Orleans, they call it Jubilee Day. So depending on where you are in the country, there'll be a different regional name given to Juneteenth.
Mm-hmm. So I assume you do, like, you celebrate it, of course. So is there any special things you do on that particular day? What do you...
Yeah, I did not grow up celebrating Juneteenth. It was not a family tradition. I grew up initially in New York City. We bounced around a lot growing up, Hempstead, Long Island, Staten Island, the Bronx. And so because I was in a city culture, I was exposed to a lot of black culture from the diaspora and around the world, because it's New York City. So you get exposed to a lot of different cultures. So I did grow up with other black and Afrocentric cultures. And I also grew up in the 90s. So I grew up in what they call the golden age of hip hop. And so during that time, there was a resurgence around black pride, but through the hip hop lens. That kind of was, you know, on the shoulders of the black arts movement of the 1960s and that generation that really took culture and put black pride into all the cultural offerings. And so in the 90s, we had a resurgence of that with music, with TV, with film. And so, of course, that spilled out into our day-to-day life and the kinds of cultural, you know, celebrations that we had. And so I was exposed to a lot of festivals, but I didn't always know what it was called or what I was at. It was just this Afrocentric, there's drums, there's vendors, there's fun. And so I would just be there, but not really knowing, oh, this is the blank celebration or this is that celebration. So I didn't grow up knowing what Juneteenth was. And so, but when I, as an adult, being in other cities and that were celebrating Juneteenth, is how I was made aware that this was, you know, the end of enslavement was celebrated by our ancestors and was a thing. And so last year was my first time actually intentionally celebrating Juneteenth. And my cousin and I came up with the idea of it being a block party. So we had it in front of Bliss Towers, because Bliss Towers is symbolic to where the black community is in Hudson. It is where, you know, through all this gentrification that's happening in Hudson, where most of our community and residents are being pushed even further down street around Bliss Towers. It's almost like there's like a 3-block radius where you see the predominantly black and brown folks of whose socioeconomics are, you know, lower in terms of their financial means, not in terms of their wealth in other ways. And so we wanted to have it where the people were at. We wanted it to be a block party because it's supposed to be, you know, reflective of our culture. And so we wanted to have a celebration that says all of who we are is beautiful and all of who we are deserves to be celebrated. And let's have a day where we're just sitting in our joy and we're like just loving on ourselves and playing and being in community. And so, you know, I had not been to a Juneteenth celebration before to know if there were certain traditions I was supposed to do. So that left us to be free to do whatever we wanted to do that was in service of like what we wanted the day to be. And was like, you know, if this is Freedom Day, what does it mean to be free? And so we're like sitting in our joy, you know, and so that's, we led from that place. And we had activities for all the kids and we had water and sprinkles and gave out food and we had double dutch, we had drumming, we had a live DJ, we had, you know, the basketball court was open, which, you know, and then we had at the evening, we had a procession of the community leaders that were elders to say, you know, and this was like, you know, the summer of what they call us, the summer of a freedom summer after George Floyd's murder was, you know, this uprisings across the country. And so, you know, this was a time when all, you know, it was a lot of Black Lives Matter protests, rallies happening, but a lot of them weren't being led by black people. And so that was something we were noticing throughout Hudson. It's just like, you know, it's like there's a bunch of stuff going on, but I don't know that the black community is being, you know, partnered with or even consulted around what does it mean for us to support you and be in solidarity with your community that's fighting for your freedom and for the safety of your community. And so we said that we wanted Juneteenth to be a celebration, but also for it to be a chance to have a community conversation around what does the black community want? How does the black community see being in solidarity with it? So if you're going to be out here having events, raising money, getting grants to do things on our behalf, we're going to have a conversation where you come hear what we have to say. And so we ended the day with community leaders that were elders at this point, talking about of their decades of struggling and trying to get Hudson, Catskill, you know, Columbia County and Greene County to have more services for the black and brown community. It was like, you know, from your experience and level of work, what do you see are the issues in our communities, and what do you think solidarity looks like? What do you want us as younger folks to take into like the future of what does it mean for us to keep developing ourselves? And so that's the way that it was last year. But I am, yeah, so Juneteenth for me is a new celebration in my like personal life. I celebrate Kwanzaa heavily every year. And so, and for me, Kwanzaa is something you practice every year because it's, you know, it's these seven principles that are about a lifestyle, not just about a holiday. And for me, Juneteenth felt like a natural, you know, result in a natural way of holding myself accountable to practicing Kwanzaa. Like, what is self-determination? If we don't have cultural arts festivals in the city, then you have to practice my own self-determination, you know, practice Kujichagulia and make it happen. And do it collectively. So for me, the way that I've organized Juneteenth is about practicing those Kwanzaa principles, because our holidays and our observances have to do with how are we developing ourselves as a community and developing our own pride in ourselves. And so what I try to do is hold myself accountable to making that real and not just performative and not just superficial.
I feel you. So I heard you talking about with the kids, you had like events and stuff, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. How important do you feel it is for kids to understand what Juneteenth really is?
Mm-hmm. I think it's incredibly important. One, just for the sheer, like, you know, I'm going to keep going back to what does it mean to have pride in yourself and your heritage? You know, to be a young black kid who doesn't grow up having cultural festivals that say, your people are amazing, mm-hmm. And here's a festival to celebrate that. If you don't grow up with that, how do you find that sense of self? How do you find that sense of pride in the group of people that you're going to, you know, while you're here on this earth, be connected to on some level, whether you, you know, live in that community or not? You know, you are, you know, the way that the world is set up, you're going to be seen as part of that community. And it's, you know, I think it's incredible if you can grow up feeling proud of that community. And so I think, you know, for kids, when it comes to Juneteenth, just soaking up that these people, like these, you know, like, okay, I'm going to go to this thing and I hope it's fun. But like, look, this is how when I become an adult, these become the memories that matter to me. And, you know, if Juneteenth can be a place for those memories to be like good memories, right? So you can grow up and have a lot of experiences and have a lot of memories and then not be good and be like, you know, my childhood sucked. My community sucked. We didn't do nothing, you know. All we saw were the police. All we saw was when it was time for us to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. So I think that Juneteenth, just as a sheer, you know, that level for a kid, I think it's incredibly important. And then deeper than that, I think that if you're a kid who's curious about what it is that you're at, like, what is this festival? Like, you know, is there ice pops? Is there hot dogs? And is there some place for me to play my video game? Like, if you can get beyond that and be curious about it, I think that it then can plant seeds in you about a different level of, you know, who am I? What, you know, what does it mean for me to have black skin? What does it mean for me to have brown skin? Like, what is this? Like, oh, yeah, I hear people talking about this. Oh, okay. Then you can start making connections for yourself. And in particular, with Juneteenth, this idea that it was like the way that slavery and post-slavery is talked about, what I love about Juneteenth is it's a holiday, one that we're like remembering that we celebrated. Mm-hmm. And so just having to say like, dang, this is something that they celebrated in 1865 up until now, why am I only learning about it? Yeah. And so just that question alone as a kid helps you to be like, you know what, that's right, that my, you know, the old heads in my life are always saying that, you know, we got to know our history, and our history has been hidden from us. And when you learn about Juneteenth, it becomes one of those examples. It's like, ah, here's an example of something that they didn't teach me in school, that this is something I didn't know about. That's what my mom meant, or that's what my uncle meant, or that's what my, you know, so-and-so meant when they said you're going to, you know, to learn your history means you're going to have to want to learn your history. And to learn about Juneteenth means that you're learning about people who weren't given their freedom, but who fought for their freedom. Juneteenth is not about Abraham Lincoln freeing a slave. Juneteenth is about the enslaved folks who fought, died, ran away, got arms and legs cut off, were murdered, were raped, were all of these things, and pushed the country, same way we're pushing the country now, mm-hmm. in terms of, like, you know, defunding the police and reallocating funds to youth services. That's what got them free, the same way that we're trying, what the changes that we're making and the activists that push for these legislations, that's what, you know, the president might get credit for it, but you're living in a time where you get to see all the people on the ground force the country this way. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because one day the president woke up and had a change of heart. It's because we forced the government to do better. Mm-hmm. And so Juneteenth is a remembrance that this is a long legacy of what it means to struggle for your own freedom. And so the way that we're celebrating in Hudson is to be very intentional about saying that. So for kids, it's not, you know, it's like, oh man, my people are dope, you know, because sometimes you learn about slavery in America and it almost feels like, oh, your people were just shuffling along, hoping and praying that somebody came and did something. And when you really get into the history of it and you get into like the things that I practice, the music that I listen to, the traditions, the rituals that I do, those are the things that gets passed down in 50 years, 100 years. Somebody's going to be practicing whatever it is that you kept alive. And so I think for kids to be able to, like, one, get poured into, that means when they're 50 and they're 60, that's what heritage and cultural festivals do. They plant these seeds in you. Then when you become an adult, now you're passing those rituals down to keep your culture alive, right? Even if you don't know what it's called anymore, even if you do it differently, those things are going to connect to each other, you know? And so I think that that's a beautiful thing for a kid to know, even if they're not consciously doing it, that they're just being around it, and it's, you know, and it's positive.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I feel you. So that you said that. Do you feel as though Juneteenth needs more recognition?
You know, we started to talk about this a little bit off mic a little bit earlier, and I think that I struggle with it. I think that recognition amongst Black people, yes, mm-hmm. recognition nationally in terms of respecting our you know, that, you know, yeah, we, you know, yeah. they're emancipated, that they chose, right? We chose this holiday. It wasn't given to us. This is something that we fought for and something that we decided we want to celebrate this day and turn to holiday. Yes. What I always get nervous about what recognition looks like is whether or not it gets watered down and gets co-opted and taken and sold back to us. Mm-hmm. And that's always my concern when it comes to what recognition looks like. Because for me, it's just like, as I want us to recognize it. I don't necessarily know that I care if other people recognize it, because mm-hmm. we didn't do this for y'all. We did this for to pat ourselves on the back. We did this to brush off our own shoulders. You know, we didn't do this so that you know, for your gaze. We did this for ourselves. And so when you start looking at on our things, you start feeling like you are entitled to it, and you're entitled to do what you want with it, and you haven't you, as in the history of this, you know, the United States, haven't shown, in terms of power structures, haven't shown that you do things with respect. You don't, you know, and so we have a long history of feeling disrespected when we begin and initiate, you know, the things that become cultural norms. And so I get really nervous about what recognition looks like and who's recognized. So in one respect, yes, I hope we universally recognize it. I hope we universally celebrate it. I hope that anytime on Juneteenth, no matter what city you're in, that you know that there's a Juneteenth celebration going down, and you know, for Black people. I do hope that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me see. It's more of a personal question. Mm-hmm. Do you, even though segregation and slavery was said to have ended a while ago, do you still feel like there are some forms of segregation, or I guess unfair treatment between Black and white?
Yes. Do you?
Of course, with the police brutality situations and mm-hmm. all that stuff. Like we had a couple of videos of what, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, all them who were victims of that.
Murdered.
Yeah, murdered. They were, yeah. That was very, I feel like there's still a lot of unfairness between those two races. Also, I feel like school doesn't promote
those two races. Do you identify?
Well, I identify as Black, of mm-hmm. course, but I don't know. But I was up my bad. But I feel like school doesn't really inform us about as much as they should. Like, school does not talk about Juneteenth at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we get off. I think we get some break for it if school mm-hmm. is still going on,
mm-hmm.
but school doesn't really, you don't get taught about it. You get taught about the Emancipation Proclamation, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All that, but you don't really get taught like deep, like the traditions of mm-hmm. it. Like, that's mm-hmm. what I really want to find out about. Mm-hmm. Like, because mm-hmm. Juneteenth is new to me. Like,
got it. Literally, yeah, I can speak to that a little bit in terms of like the traditions, because I'm still learning about it. Right, I didn't grow up with Juneteenth as a holiday either, as I was saying, and we didn't get days off. Like, this is, you know, the mayor of Hudson, Kamal Johnson, designated Juneteenth as a city holiday last year, so this is new.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be something that the kids now will be normalized for them as they go through school. Mm-hmm. But that's like a little, you know, that's 2020, you know, year 2020, that is starting to become something that is recognized as like a holiday. Mm-hmm. So I would say we're in the same boat in that sense, but I have, because I am doing this, starting to do this annual, it'll probably become a festival right now, just call it a celebration, was just like, I need to hold myself accountable to knowing the history, so I started to do my research. Mm-hmm. So I definitely am just, you know, I encourage everyone to keep reading about it. What I have learned thus far, even why it started, like these are all things that I've been like just doing my own research around. So like, you know, that in Galveston, Texas was the last place, but why was that? Like, so, you know, start asking these questions. So I, you know, what I can share some more, if you want me to share some more tidbits,
particularly since it's really interesting. You know how in school when you learn about history, particularly Black history, it's told to you one way, and then you find out about that history from someone else, and you know, from a scholar or professor or you know, an elder Black folk, and be like, yo, they only told me this like little bit. You know, that was just this one sentence, and then you come or you read a book or you watch a documentary, it's like, yo, we should have spent a whole semester. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So I've been starting to find that out even with the way Juneteenth is being told in the public. So for example, you know, when people go to say like, oh, what is Juneteenth? Usually they'll say, yeah, so the last of our, you know, our ancestors in Galveston, Texas, there was this general, and he came through town, and he sat on the state, you know, Capitol steps, and he read off the part of the Emancipation Proclamation that said, here, you know, here henceforth, no, you know, enslaved person in the South shall have to be enslaved again, mm-hmm. right? And so then this general gets all this credit to say, like, you know, he came in, like, you know, the Great White Hope, and it's always positioned as like, if we can find the Great White Hope, mm-hmm. then we can tell this story, because, you know, we all, you know, we need them to believe that they need us to save them all the time, you know? So then I find out, in my research, you know, there's a professor who has this class on YouTube. It's called In Class with Dr. Carr, mm-hmm. and he's been breaking down like a lot of history, and then I watched his episode on Juneteenth, and he was talking about how the general came through town, but there was 9 Black regiments mm-hmm. in tow. They were the ones who were marching through the countryside, and the reason why Texas was last is because those that were slaveholders were moving west so that they can keep their slaves. Mm-hmm. And so that's why there were so many people that far west that they had to get to in order to let them know. And mm-hmm. it was because these Black regiments who were only, you know, made soldiers to help win the war for the North, but the fact that they were, and they were riding through the South, letting their brothers and sisters know, like, yo, we free. Yeah. Like, that part was, like, something that blew my mind versus, like, you know, because the way that it was told to me, I had already just imagined all these white men, soldiers coming in and da-da-da-da. And it's like, and then when I find out, I was like, oh, that's dope. Yeah, that's... So, and then to find out why did it take so long? Because, you know, the proclamation was signed in 1863. These people didn't find out until 1865.
Yes, that was a lot.
Right? And so, and it's because that, you know, the slaveholders weren't trying to let them go. You know what I mean? They definitely wasn't going to tell them, you know? And so that little tidbit was really fascinating to me. And then I find out, how did Juneteenth travel? Like, how does something happen so long ago and then we know about it today, right? Mm-hmm. Particularly history of ours that's not kept in history books. Mm-hmm. So then how do we pass things down when we know that our history is intentionally kept out of history books?
Yes.
We're doing it ourselves. Oral traditions, cultural traditions. Like, nobody, you don't read about the electric slide, but you know how to do it.
Yeah, of
you
course,
know?
Yes.
But well, how do you know that? It's a tradition. It becomes a ritual, and it's something that you pass down, and you have to recognize it as a beautiful thing of your people in order for you to even want to pass it down, in order for, you know, grandma to, you know, hop up there and be, you know, mm-hmm. it's electric, you know? Yeah. So for us, for me, when I found out how during what they call the Great Migration, I call it a Great Displacement, because I feel we were forced to go north from the South to try to get jobs and to get away from segregation, that those traditions were going with them. And so, like, Juneteenth made it to to big cities first, Chicago, da-da-da, it's almost 6:30. And then there are certain states that it went to and that have now been state-recognized. Mm-hmm. I think 42 states have recognized Juneteenth as a state holiday, mm-hmm. which is pretty amazing in terms of, the history.
Mm-hmm. All right, so with that, we are going to our 6:30 news break, news update. So, what you mean? Oh, my bad. We're taking a quick show break because our news is not working correctly. I was misinformed. Sorry. So we're taking our quick break. We'll be back with you with more conversation on Juneteenth.
with your right hand on top. Now, mom, yeah, mom. Left hand first, now put your right hand on top. Now, mom,
throw it up, where you at? Throw it up, where you at? Am I riding even if we catch a flat? We pulled up in a photo, and my shirt is in a polo. Baby girl flash me like a photo, and I'm by my green like a damn lawnmower. Hey, rush it. Like Sonny, get a plate, take Tony. I'm finna get, cause she put her hair in a bun. Look, do me a favor, like a book. I'm by my paper, I'm finna work her, I call it labor. I'm on the screen like a motherfucking saver.
Ma,
don't stop. Ma,
what?
Hey, ma,
say woo.
Ma,
what?
Don't stop. Ma, I get a crunk, I get it wide, I get the party lit outside. I get a crunk, I get it wide, I get the party lit outside. I get a crunk, I get it wide, I get the party lit outside. I get a crunk, I get it wide, I get the party lit outside.
Ma, ma, same head right, don't stop. In the back of the party, getting sloppy. Baby, off the molly. Baby, won't stop it. Ma, don't stop. Crock pot, I'm super hot. She's super soaking me to ma. I need all her friends. I need the whole team. I'm rocking polo jeans. I got an air outfit on me. Sweat bad lean, now drop it. Show me if you the topic. Just do it like nothing.
Okay, mop it down low. Now mop it to your socks. Mop it to the floor. Now do the milli rock. Look left, look right. Dip it all night. Yup, trying to spend the night. I'ma give her all pipe. Yeah. I'm geeked. I'm lit like a lighter. My pants, they on fire. They so hot. Sipping on that Ciroc. Look at my mop, I rock. Yeah, look at my mop, I rock. Amazed, ooh. I'm geeked, out of space, tweet, you lazy,
ma,
don't stop, ma,
okay.
Ma,
what? Hey.
Ma,
say woo.
Ma,
hey. What?
Don't stop, ma, hey. Ma,
hey.
I get a crunk, I get it wide, I get the party lit outside, I get a crunk, I get it wide, I get the party lit outside.
Best move, grabbing this baby again. Let's go. Ready to get it started. Whenever you want it, I was the man with the plans. Shorty pull up to the Grammy Awards in my 40s. She told me she like I'm dressed and I ain't eating no salad. Uh-huh. Stevie Wonder conceded I'm having. I told her be patient. She waited. I gave it a deep. Walked out doing a beatbox challenge. Like, yeah, get in there, baby. Yeah, you know me, hit you anywhere, baby.
Let's go.
Know she gonna do whatever I say. I can put in the cup, call it lemonade, baby. Let that bitch off, I'm a renegade, baby. I'ma get out of there, I ain't feeling that. Uh-huh. Run up on me with a cell phone, now they gonna fuck around down the internet. Fuck, kill him on IG Live. Let the whole world see them die. Yeah, shout out to Spot him, we got him.
Get out.
Even though he a rapper, he shot him. I get this big pretty ass mouth from my mama. Jeez. Get this motherfucking voice from my daddy. I learned how to pimp on them hoes. My uncle. Let us on my toes, cause I'm nasty.
Okay.
Like, fuck, she asked me to do it. Play with me, I'ma ask you to shoot you. Most of these niggas cap, we knew it. These niggas drop shit, we laugh at their music. I know how to murder these niggas with condoms. Fucking they from the back, I do it. I buy a Cuban and fill it with diamonds. Send my assistant to pick up some condoms. Instagram model at the hotel, text me now. Want me to give it a joke. Damn, this baby, I'm buying it. Won't go out. They know that little niggas a problem. Gotta be 4-5 on D-Cop. Go. Using big words like I'm T.I. Turn up. Don't wanna get me started. Turn me up. It's gonna see why. You, JoJo, see why. Let the wrong get rich. Both of these chains on my neck, they compete with each other. They fighting and throwing a fit. Know how they like to argue and beef with each other. She fighting over the issue. You should already know you ain't searching the baby, because that nigga like to come in with the stick. I don't like to get in the mix.
No.
I done got paid in full, my nigga. I get the buzz like a Mitch. Even got white people all in my dick. Yeah, second year, 6-time Grammy nominated. Came through, turned up, everybody hated. Before I had my first M, it would be another baby. He backed the house in the 7 of Las Vegas. You want this shit, gotta earn it. He off the leash. He don't think he can get murdered. Know how to swim, so I fool who fool with me. I take a bridge and I burn it. Let me see if you can swim, little nigga. Shit getting out of hand. I just parked new Benz, hopped in a new Benz,
let me. Let's go.
And now I want new friends.
That ain't the baby. That's my baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said they want that old shit.
That,
you know,
that,
I told them don't get me started. They said they want that baby Jesus.
Put me in that mode.
Yeah.
Get that baby,
you know,
Jesus.
I'm trying to enjoy bread. You know, be fancy and shit. Be mainstream and shit.
You know.
They said I went commercial.
All right, so DJ Ricky, me, I am back. For a little break. Last week we were talking about Juneteenth. So this year, what should we expect from the celebration that you are having?
Yeah, so really excited about.
out this year. It's going to be bigger than last year in the sense that we were able to start planning earlier. Mm-hmm. So we're able to do more. We're going to be in a different location. We're going to be at the water park, waterfront. That's it, Waterfront Park, which is off of Front Street in Hudson, across the tracks behind Amtrak's the Amtrak train station. And there's a really nice park over there that faces the river. And so that's where the festivity is going to be. So location is going to be really beautiful. There's a lot of green. And so we're going to begin early in the morning. We're going from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. It's a whole day of, like, activities. So we have a lot of things that are going to be intergenerational. We really were trying to think about all the age groups, from the elders down to the babies, and making mm-hmm. sure that everyone felt like, okay, if I go down there, am I going to enjoy it, or am I yeah. going to, is there going to be things for me? So we, you know, for like in the morning, we're going to have an ancestral reverence at the water, where we have a sister who's going to do a sound healing and a libation to the ancestors, because mm-hmm. you know Juneteenth is, you know, it's honoring that, you yeah, know, our yeah, ancestors yeah. fight for our freedom, right? So we want to begin with that, you know. So we're going to, you know, start. And we're already at the river, so we're going to do that in the morning and then do a sound healing, like, meditation moment. And then we're going to build a community altar. And so we're asking the community to bring pictures and memorabilia of their loved ones that they've lost and put it on the community altar, because we want to honor our communal elders. Our communal ancestors and mm-hmm. people that we lost together. Mm-hmm. So the idea about this year is really, like, how do we take the idea of community love to the next level? Like the theme, you know, like, you know, I think on the flyer we have celebrate Black freedom, history, joy, and community. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, everything that we're doing on that day is in service of that. You know, what does it mean to celebrate Black freedom? What does it mean to celebrate Black history? What does it mean to celebrate Black joy? What does it mean to celebrate Black community? Mm-hmm. And so all of the activities are in service of what that looks like to us at this juncture. And so we're going to have my aunt, Ms. Badilla of Diata Diata International Folkloric Theater will be there to talk about Ubuntu, which is a saying in Africa around I am because we are. So she's going to give a talk around that. And then her and her children are going to do a dance and drumming session mm-hmm. with the community. So if you're into dancing and into African dancing and drumming, you could be able to, like, join them in this session and just learn and get down. My brother, who's an artist, he's all around artist. He did the design for the flyers, but he's also a barber and a wearable art artist. Like, he takes clothing and he transforms them through art. Mm-hmm. He's going to be giving a barber session. So he and his sister, who has a hair salon, are going to do a barbering and braiding 101. So folks who want to learn how to barber, if you want to learn how to, like, I just want to learn how to be able to mm-hmm. edge myself up when I can't get to the barber, or mm-hmm. fade in my back so that, you know, I can keep yeah. myself clean, because I can't afford to go to the barber all the time. But mm-hmm. if I can keep myself clean. So he's going to give a couple barber sessions, and she's going to give a couple braiding sessions. So, you know, it's geared towards the youth. Like, we want some of the young men and some of the young women and young gender non-binary folks who want to learn young, and maybe they want to make that a skill or something that they do. So we're going to have some, you know, everything is going to be interactive and hands-on for the most part. Mm-hmm. To have a live DJ. We've gotten some funding to be able to feed the young people and other folks who can't afford to buy food from the vendors. We're going to have a grill out there and be making, you know, give out the hot dogs and the hamburgers and water and ice pops to them. Mm-hmm. We have a water slide, which for all ages. Yeah, I asked him, I was like, yo, can adults get down on this? He's like, yeah. He's like, that's going to hold 400 pounds. Come on through. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a water slide out there. Well, there's going to be an arts and craft corner. So we're going to, you know, have T-shirts. People are going to be able to make their own Juneteenth T-shirts out there, because we want to buy a bunch of T-shirts already printed and then sell them. It's like, we really want the community to just have things. We don't want to charge. So we're going to try to do everything at no cost. Like, it's free to get in. It's free to do the activities.
I'm going to have to come. This event sounds lit.
We have
fun,
a video game station.
Oh, not yet.
Yeah.
My nephew
is a gamer, and he's building a whole video like in a tent. It's going to be some monitors. And it's going to be, I think we have a Wii, a PS2, and an Xbox. I think we have one of each of those game systems that's going to be on site for the gamers. What there's a jazz concert, Melodious Thunk Jazz Festival will be happening. So for the for the jazz heads, particularly the elders might be listening. There's a jazz concert from 4 to 9. What else are we gonna have? I'm doing astrology readings. I read astrology charts. So during the evening, I'll do some mini astrology stuff. There's gonna be our healing arts community. So like my cousin who does Grow Black Hudson, any of you who know of her work where she's give out plants and soil to the community and helps the community build their own small gardens in their small spaces. She's gonna be out there with a couple of other BIPOC garden folk. There's going to be tabling from different community services. There's going to be vendors. We did a call out to all the black vendors from the counties. And we've actually, a sister from here from Catskill is coming to vend. She has a spot called Good Hair.
Right next to my house.
Yeah, she'll be in the house. She did your hair? Yeah, so she'll be there vending, and she's going to do an art activity with the kids for Father's Day, because it's also the day before Father's Day.
The 20th.
And so she's going to do art making with the kids for Father's Day. There's going to be a whole King Daddy, Proud Papa corner. There's some men that are putting that together. There's a community quilt that we're building. We're having this whole big quilt, and we want people to come, take a patch, personalize it, and we're going to build this whole community quilt made from everybody. My mom is going to do a knitting and crochet circle, so you could just chill and sit under the tree if that's your style.
I'm gonna have to tell my aunt to come. That's her thing.
Yeah, tell her to bring her yarn and her crochet needles.
She'll get down with it.
Tell her to come. Tell her we're gonna have shade, and all she got to do is bring her favorite lawn chair and her knitting supplies and come through.
She'll definitely get down with that.
Yeah,
I'll let her know.
And then we're gonna end the day with a film screening of a film that was made last year from a sister in Texas, speaking of Texas and where Juneteenth originates. And it's called Miss Juneteenth. It's a film called Miss Juneteenth that's really beautiful. It's set in a small black town, so it feels a lot like these towns that we live in, Hudson and Catskill. And it's centered around a mother and daughter, and that the fact that the daughter in 2020 doesn't want to do this pageant that is this cultural heritage thing that her mom did, and how they're trying to struggle through, her mom really trying to force it on her to have a really to see each other and love each other. And it's and then the daughter's father is in the film in a really beautiful way. It just feels like a regular black folk, regular family life in a small town, and it really feels like a good film for us to have. So that's the way we're going to end the day at 9 o'clock. And we're going to have one of my highlights that I'm really excited about is an art exhibit that we're calling Black in a Day. And it's going to be visual displays of black spaces that used to exist in Hudson or existed that didn't have a building. Like my Aunt Pam's Diata Folklore, they never had a building or a cultural center, but they're a cultural institution in the city. Like my brother used to have a place called the Hip Hop Chop Shop. So we're going to have this art exhibit of that space, of Savoy's, of the black church that used to be in the city. And we're going to have visual elements that represent black culture. So there's going to be something on hair, because we're going to have the hair braiding corner. So we're going to have, in a beautiful way, do rags are dope. Bonnets are dope. I do not agree with Auntie Monique when she was coming at the sisters for wearing bonnets at the airport. It's just like all of who we are is beautiful. And so we're going to visually capture that. We're going to have descriptions and content around it, Juneteenth fun facts, so people get to learn about Juneteenth without it being like a lecture. We're just going to do some visual art-based things to display the history in beautiful pictures and in beautiful descriptions. And it'll be placed around the space. And then dancing. Like, I'm trying to get an electric slide and a soul play line going. I'm trying to get that good black family reunion vibe going. So it's going to be a very dynamic day. It's going to be a long day, but it's going to be beautiful. So whatever time you can come out, you're going to find something, hopefully, that you're into. And, just bring your blanket and chill and just be in community.
So it's going to be something where, it's like you direct people, or is it going to be something where it's like you can go around, do whatever you want, and just have fun and experience the whole thing?
Both. So there'll be, we have thanks to AmeriCorps, speaking to MHA, thanks to AmeriCorps, we have a group of folks that are volunteering their time to help us direct people. There'll be people on site to ensure that it's a big space, but it's not so big that you feel lost. It's not like being in New York City at one of their festivals.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's like blocks long. It's like, you know, it'll be big enough for you to feel like, wow, this is, you know, vibrant.
Nice,
but small enough for you to be like, okay, over there, I see that's the art. That's the kids' corner over there. Okay, I see they crocheting over there. Okay, there's a DJ. Like, you'll be able to physically see everything. Okay. And the vendors will be kind of in the same, like, there'll be a vendor row, so to speak. So, yeah. But there'll also be people. There'll be a welcome table and, you know, information. And so, yes, you'll definitely have help. But you'll also just be able to just, you know, do your thing. You come and you get in where you fit in. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I know you proposed the question earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What does freedom mean to us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. Yeah, so yeah. What does freedom mean to you?
I'm going to go first. I feel as though freedom is the right to do, to like, freedom is basically, like, the right to do what you feel is right. Like, I know there's a lot of things, like, laws that prevent people, like, from doing things that they feel are right. Like, I know we have freedom of speech and stuff, but then at the same time, you go to events, right? And you can't just, like, promote something without law enforcement or someone here getting involved in it, right? Yeah, it's going to be someone there preventing you, like, oh, no, hold up, you cannot do that here. And so I feel like... Exactly. So I feel like that shouldn't freedom. A part of the freedom is having that ability to do that whenever you feel. I feel as though freedom is just the ability to do what you want. Like, I know, not doing whatever you want. Like, still having some boundaries, but you know how they have curfews for younger kids, like not 9 o'clock curfew if you're under a certain age. I feel like that's kind of like, I don't know. I feel like they should have that. Like, if you're in a different mindset than, like, the average person, then I feel as though that's different. But if you're out there, you know, if you're,
there's having integrity and good character, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's interesting how you hesitated because you're thinking about, like, oh, if you have the freedom to do what you want, you're going to do something bad. And I feel like those are the things that we get trapped up in our head thinking about versus the fact that actually most people aren't, like, looking to have freedom for the sake of, like, hurting other people and running amok, not on purpose, you know, people, you know, and I'm not saying that there's definitely a lot of folks out there, particularly, you know, those white supremacists with pitchforks out there just, you know, wanting that, and I'm not saying they aren't, but I do generally think that particularly folks who think about what does it mean to be free, who haven't had a real sense of freedom, aren't looking for to now have reverse power over the people who have been in power. You know, we're generally just looking for a sense of self and agency in our own lives. You know, an agency meaning, like you were saying, like, you know, I just want to know that, you know, if I am thinking or feeling or wanting to do something that I'm passionate about, I can go ahead and do that, you know, without it being like, you know, all these restrictions or, you know, having to pay for it or having to jump through a whole lot of hoops just to, like, exert my humanity, you know. And I think that's what I hear you guys, you know, referring to is just like, you know, I just want the freedom to be me. You know,
just be you without being judged, without being classed, like being put into a certain category, like being categorized. That's big right there. Like if you do a certain thing, oh, you must be this, or you must like let's say you like the style of country people, right? Like you wear like a little camouflage shirt or something. People be like, oh, you must be a country boy just because you like wear, you know, something like that. Exactly. Like, maybe I just like those clothing. So I feel like being categorized is a big thing that the community struggles with. It's something that needs to be fixed.
Oh, the mic.
Yeah, your mic, yeah. But, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of things that the community has that people still struggle with.
Yeah.
Being accepting of people. I know there's still a lot of even with racial stuff, like earlier with Isha, to yesterday and today at school, with racism still going around.